Welcome, everyone, to the Our Strange Skies podcast. I am your guest, Rob Christofferson. That's right. The tables have turned. Your host this week, the one and only Spencer Wirth Davis. Man, thank you for coming on and saving my ass. My mental health was in the drain. I didn't have it in me, but you pulled me from that deep, dark place, and
from
you lifted
depths.
Me up. Yes, you lifted me up, and you brought some stories with you, man. You brought some stories.
I brought something. I'm honestly not quite sure what it is, but we'll figure it out together. So,
yeah,
a few years ago, I went to the Mile High Mystery Conference in mm-hmm. out in Colorado, and one of the speakers, in addition to Davey Copface, aka David Politis.
So wait, before you go on, you know, because you and Ryan, you did, you know, the What If podcast for many years.
Yeah.
Is that the conference in which Ryan got yelled at by Copface?
Yes, that we Ryan was scolded for not paying close enough attention during one of the presentations by David Politis. Yes.
Yes,
that is indeed the conference. I think it was 2018 or 19.
I think it was 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems right. So one of the other speakers was Linda Moulton Howe.
Mm-hmm.
And in her presentation, which I honestly don't remember what the overall arc of the presentation was, but in this presentation, she said, just sort of in passing, one of the wilder statements I've ever heard in my life that mm-hmm. has stuck with me 4 years later. And that yeah. is that the UFOs are dropping off big feet so that the big feet can cut our cats in half.
Yes.
Yeah. They're cutting our cats in half, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I would try and do my best to get to the bottom of that statement and see if there was indeed any accuracy to it.
God.
So it was said so matter-of-factly, like, we all know that, of course, the UFOs are transporting Bigfoot, and of course, Bigfoot is here on Earth to cut our cats in half. It was just laid yes. out like, no questioning it. It's just a matter of fact, moving on. And I haven't stopped thinking about it for the last 4 years. So we all know that Linda Moulton Howe is not like the best source of accurate information, especially lately, including her odd claims about her Emmy that she may or may not actually have received.
Oh, God. So wait, is she saying that she did not, in fact, receive an Emmy for her work?
She received an Emmy.
Okay.
It was a regional Emmy.
Okay. Okay.
Of which there are 20 regions. So, like, it is an Emmy, but it's not like when you just say Emmy winning,
mm-hmm.
you should really
people automatically have an image in their head that you were at, you know, that, you know, ceremony that you see all these famous people at and you were given an award.
Right. Yeah. Instead of like, this was the Southwest Regional Emmys, which includes like two or three states.
Okay. Okay.
Also, the Emmy was on it was a documentary that she produced. It was the cattle mutilation documentary.
Strange Harvest.
Yeah. Strange Harvest. So that documentary, which she produced, won an Emmy, but it won a regional Emmy for sound editing. It was
sound editing.
So
here's the question that I have.
Was she the sound editor? No, she yeah. was not. No, okay. she indeed was not the sound editor. She was the producer of that film.
Oh, okay. So In fact, her film won an Emmy. She herself did not win the Emmy.
And for, even saying
for the, her portion of it,
the sound editor on the film won an Emmy. Yeah, or like it won an Emmy for original Emmy for best sound editing.
Okay, that changes things quite a bit.
So just putting that out there. That plus, like, you know, mm-hmm. she likes to post fake things on Twitter all the time and be like, "Is this an alien? No, Linda, that is a drawing. This is not an alien." One of my favorite things to do lately, because every one of her tweets, like, she does this live show, I don't know, like a couple times a week on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And to promote it, she'll always, it'll be like an image and then a question about like whatever topic they're talking about. So it'll be like, are human beings a combination of three different types of ET DNA? And my favorite thing lately is just to quote tweet them,
yeah.
and say, no, no, it is not.
No,
nope. We are definitely not some weird alien aged blend. No, we are not, Linda. Anyway. So I thought I'd start with trying to figure out if there was a connection between big feet and UFOs. That seemed like mm-hmm. the clear place to mm-hmm. try and establish a connection here.
Yeah.
So there are several instances out there in the UFO world that you probably are aware of. Some that I'm not, I would guess.
Yeah, like a lot of it happened in the 70s, particularly in Pennsylvania, Indiana, some in Ohio. There's actually this bomb ass freaking, I don't know if it's a book or if it's like a pamphlet or something like this that I found. And it's like, I think it's called like Night of the UFO Monsters. And it's all about these Whoa. Like Ohio UFO Bigfoot stories from like 1981 that I need to cover at some point. But like,
yeah, that sounds
yeah,
awesome.
Like there are definitely connections. For sure.
So she gives the example in a couple of her interviews about it's a story of a man who's out gardening and he sees a UFO overhead and it beams down in what she describes as like a wind tunnel. It's not light, mm-hmm. but it looks like there's, I don't know, air moving somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it beams down these two aliens wearing sparkly blue leotards. They walk off into the woods, and then a minute later, that same UFO via the same wind tunnel thing beams down a Bigfoot, and then they all walk off into the woods together. So clearly, aliens, UFOs, Bigfoot, all in cahoots.
Connection. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's that all in one. It is literally that so-and-so walk into a bar kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly. Two aliens in sparkly blue leotards and a Bigfoot walk into a bar.
Yeah, that's it.
Then they cut your cats in half. We're just one step away. We're so close.
The line of logic is so obvious that we did not see it until
it was
Linda
right
Moulton
there.
Howe put it in your brain, and you haven't been able to forget about it since then.
It's right under our noses the whole time.
Yes.
So then she tells that story on Ancient Aliens and a few other places. She also tells a story about a rancher who saw an 8 to 10 foot tall, hairy ape Bigfoot creature, shoots it, and when she shoots it, it just disappears into a flash of light, which mm-hmm. does not necessarily connote alien or UFO or anything else.
No.
But she says, how can anything that disappears in a flash of light be purely biological?
Oh, ho, ho.
Aha. So we may have an interdimensional Bigfoot on our hands.
Interdimensional Bigfoot. It's happening. It's happening now.
She actually says on Ancient Aliens, is it moving in and out of dimensions?
Right.
Okay. And then she, in the same, this is a season 4, episode 7 of Ancient Aliens. We're early in the mm-hmm. the Ancient Aliens arc. Trash yep. show, don't bother with it. But for our purposes here, it's entertaining. She comes to the conclusion by the end of the episode that non-humans, so ET or interdimensional something, created Bigfoot to do work on this planet as sort of like laborer Bigfoot. And then the Big Feet built a tunnel system under the United States, and that's why we don't see them very often. And also why there are sightings of them all over the country is because they've got this underground tunnel system.
So this is essentially Zechariah Sitchin's Anunnaki stuff, but translated into Bigfoot. Like, yes. Oh, they created humans as a slave race to work for them and stuff. Okay, so yeah. It's basically kind of repurposed from that.
Yes, the Big Feet are the humans in this case. And plus tunnels. They've got tunnels.
They do have tunnels, yes.
And then, quote from Linda, they would make a creature, this, she's saying, if the aliens were indeed doing this, they would make a creature that would be strong, big enough to fend for itself, and have some kind of mission, a.k.a. fuck those cats, but is not to interact with Homo sapiens at all because they don't want to throw off our development. Right. They need this parallel Bigfoot track. So big, strong.
Mm-hmm.
Got a mission.
Got
big,
a mission.
Big, strong, and on a mission.
To do something with your cats.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
As far as non Linda Moulton Howe Bigfoot UFO alien connections, I assume you're familiar with the Blue Planet trilogy. A Blue Planet Project.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a thing in there called the Wadig, WADIG, which looks exactly like Bigfoot, but is apparently an alien.
Right.
So we got extraterrestrial Bigfoot. And then this is I was struggling. I started at the bottom of the barrel and just dug straight through the bottom of the barrel to come up with some of this stuff. This is from Channel 4, Pittsburgh's Action News. This is someone, Saluga. What's their first name? Baby Saluga. Fred Saluga, who was MUFON's West Virginia State Director and Pennsylvania Regional Director. Fred said, a Bigfoot creature has never been captured, which leads some to wonder if it might be a ghost or an alien.
Yeah.
It's like someone put him down and then picked him back up. Is that possible for a flesh and blood animal? If you think about it, we would have found something by now if it was flesh and blood. So the fact that we haven't yet captured a Bigfoot confirms that Bigfoot is either a ghost or an alien.
Yeah. That's logic dictates that that is true. And there is literally nothing to refute that. It's Rob, just fact.
If you can't find something, it is therefore an alien. Because if it were not an alien, you'd find it.
Right. Exactly. Like the logic. I'm doing the math in my head. It's checking out. I should also like to inform the audience, I'm an idiot. So it's completely plausible that I'm wrong.
I've been lost before. Am I an alien?
What's that? Yes. Yes.
Get Fred
exactly
on the phone.
Right.
Get Fred in here. We need an expert.
We do.
Okay. So let's see. Next up, we've got this is from a Huffington Post article written by Dr. Franklin Rule. Do you know this guy?
Franklin Rule does not ring a bell.
Okay.
No.
So I should maybe just let he's just a full blown goofball, but he's got this series on YouTube called An Intriguing Factoid from Dr. Franklin Rule.
Mm.
And there's a video. It's 1 minute long, titled Intriguing Factoid, Bigfoot May Be an ET.
Okay.
So I'd like to play it for you. I think he lays out a pretty convincing case.
Okay.
Dr. Franklin Rule here with another intriguing rule factoid. The question of the day is Bigfoot possibly an ET? Now, an intriguing case occurred back on October 25th, 1973 in Fayette County, Pennsylvania. A flying saucer, oval-shaped, was seen over a field, and two, not one, but two Bigfoot creatures directly beneath it. Several farmers came out. One of them shot at one of the Bigfoot creatures. That entity raised its arm, and immediately the UFO vanished, and the two Bigfoot creatures disappeared into the woods. Now, there's a possibility that the Bigfoot creatures are actually the pilots of the UFOs, or perhaps guinea pigs dropped down on Earth to test our environment for future colonization, or conceivably even alien convicts being sentenced to planet Earth. Yes, no doubt about it.
Bigfoot are either guinea pigs or they're alien convicts, Rob.
Alien convicts. Okay, so...
Hold on. The last 10 seconds of this video is one of the best things I've ever heard.
Okay.
Now, until next time, may the power of the cosmos and of Bigfoot be with you. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I do enjoy the Daniel Bryan yes chants at the end. I do enjoy how that ended
may,
there.
May the power of Bigfoot be with you.
Yes, I am familiar with the case that he's talking about. It's a case of a guy named George Kowalczyk.
Yeah, I think you and I talked about this once, didn't we?
Yeah, we might have. And yeah, he actually took a couple of boys from the neighborhood. They had seen this light from out beyond in their backyard, and they go up and they see this kind of domed object just sitting there on the ground, and they see these two hulking figures that in the sketches they look exactly like Bigfoot. They are tall, they have long gangly arms, they have really like their faces are freaking terrifying to look at. But what's interesting is that I believe it was Stan Gordon got a call that night. Stan Gordon, who was like one of the preeminent ufologists in Pennsylvania. He's been kind of big with the Kexburg case and a bunch of other cases. But he went out there, he investigated this case. And there was a moment where George Kowalczyk, when he was out there, he felt himself becoming possessed by something, like something was taking over his body. And he started to act very like aggressive towards the like police officers had come out, because it was actually police officers that had contacted the group that Stan Gordon was with. And he just started getting real aggressive with them. And then eventually he kind of regained his senses and stuff like that. But it's kind of one of those weird cases where you have everything at once just like going on. But they did. I don't know that they saw a Bigfoot again, those Bigfoot like creatures, but they heard like rustling in the trees and stuff like that. But it's like it's one of those very weird cases from that year of the humanoids flap that it kind of stands out, and it fits with a lot of the stuff that was going on in Pennsylvania at the time with like Bigfoot sightings and like UFO sightings and stuff.
So he also talks about another one from October of 73 in Galveston, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this one? Jim Mays?
I think so. I think that was one of the cases in the Year of the Humanoids report.
Yeah. So I'll keep it quick, but he was fishing. Jim Mays was fishing, sees a Bigfoot standing about 20 feet away from him, calls out to it. Bigfoot runs away. But then a few minutes later, a big old Bigfoot sneaks up behind him and taps him on the shoulder and then runs away.
Yes.
And he chases it and he sees it jump into a ditch and then sees a glowing bronze light rise up out of the ditch and shoot off into the sky. And he goes back a few days later, brings some other people with him. And on the way there, they're followed by some sort of what he calls an aerial light as they approach the spot where he'd seen the Bigfoot. When he gets there, they see the Bigfoot again. It's about 8 or 9 feet tall. And it says in this report, quote, two of the party retreated to the car in fear. The others shouted questions and curses at the Bigfoot.
This is like that Draguignan case from France in which that guy backs up the car to literally yell out, are you good or are you bad?
I love the questions and curses like, hey, what are you doing there? Also, hey, fuck you. Get fucked, bud. But also, why are you so tall?
Yeah, this definitely has like the flair of a Midwestern accent. Like, really, I mean, should be tacked on.
Galveston, Indiana. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And then they apparently threw rocks at Bigfoot, which he didn't seem to mind. And then the story ends.
Well, I mean, like,
he just stood there and ate it.
You're Bigfoot.
Yeah, what's a rock like, going to do to you, dude?
And you have a reputation of throwing boulders, you know, like really large rocks. And you're like, yeah, this is cute. Look at these two.
Puny humans. What are they
going to do? Bigfoot.
All right. So I think we've established that the aliens and the UFOs and the big feet are in cahoots. Agreed?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So now we need to establish a Bigfoot cat connection.
Mm-hmm.
Phase two of our process here. This one was a little bit harder, but I did find a couple examples. One is from a book called The Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection.
I have this book.
Okay, excellent. Well, on page 39, there's a story that comes from Wisconsin in 1977, in which an old woman is sitting on her porch and a Sasquatch approaches and psychically levitates her book out of her hand and throws it across the yard, and then starts asking her questions about her cat.
Dick move. Really dick move. That's, yeah, no, like, serious disrespect, like, right up front. And, like, this is creepy from, like, top to bottom here.
Yeah. We have a transcript of their telepathic conversation.
Oh, excellent.
So Bigfoot says, what is the animal you have in that cage? She says, it's my pet cat. What is a pet? A pet is an animal that keeps people company, something to love and take care of. Bigfoot asks, if you love it, why is it in a cage?
Mm-hmm.
She says,
okay, that is a fair question there, Senior Bigfoot. I agree.
If you love that little guy, set him free.
Exactly.
Bigfoot philosopher here. She said, I fear it will get lost in the woods or be eaten by an animal. I want to protect it, which in her defense, fair. There's 8-foot tall Bigfoot running around.
Yes. Who's interested in cats?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be careful. Bigfoot says, but your pet must be unhappy in that cage. And she said, no, she's on her back and purring, which means she's happy. And Bigfoot says, oh, that pleases me. I did not know that. It is good to be happy. That was the end of their conversation. Bigfoot is thrilled that this cat is doing okay.
So we have Bigfoot, who is now an environmentalist. I dig this.
Yeah.
This is essentially Bigfoot stepping into the role that no figure resembling Smokey the Bear could actually step into. So I respect that. Like, you know, if he had said something about forest fires, it totally would have, you know, exposed
the true Bigfoot agenda.
Yeah. And our government and their the way that they steal their slogans and stuff from, you know, real life events, but
it might be a consulting gig. It might be like a Bigfoot marketing team.
That could be. There really could be. Absolutely.
So in 73, we got Bigfoot popping out of UFOs. By 77, they have discovered cats.
Mm-hmm.
And by the 1990s, according to Linda Moulton Howe, they are cutting those goddamn cats in half.
It's just
something has gone wrong. There is a war going on between the cats and the big feet.
Okay.
Right. We can skip this one for now. I found a Vice article laying out a 10-point argument for why cats are aliens. maybe we'll come back to that at the end if we have some time.
That sounds like something Vice would put out.
Okay, so from earthfiles.com, which is Linda Moulton Howe's website.
Mm-hmm.
July 28th, 2005, she published an article called Feedback on the Half Cat Mystery. So she calls them half cats because they're cats that have been cut in half.
So, okay, but like, is there only half a cat? Because like that's just kind of like weird naming, because it's just like, did you discover half a cat? Because
right.
No. I but again, we're on LMH logic here, and we know that kind of logic, you know, runs on
nothing.
it kind of runs on like self-motivation.
Oh.
For things.
Sure.
I think, because if you're out there promoting the idea that Bigfoot is ripping your cats in half, you're the only person out there telling people that Bigfoot is ripping their cats in half.
You got to find your angle. You know, you got to stand out from all the other crazy shit noise that's out there. When they go crazy, you go crazier.
Exactly. I mean, look at, you know, the folks that are most synonymous with the cattle mutilation stuff. I think Linda Moulton Howe has kind of been, you know, downgraded to the point where, you know, folks like Christopher O'Brien, Chuck Zukowski, probably a few other people are above her in terms of the work that in the research that people are doing into that. So, like, you do got to come at it from an angle. Otherwise, you're just like everybody else. You're getting caught, you know, lost in this endless loop of crazy people saying crazy things.
So one of the articles that she's reacting to, and then I think this feedback article is she made a Coast to Coast AM appearance, and then people wrote in following her Coast to Coast AM appearance. But there's an article from the Whidbey News Times from July 23rd, 2005. So this was 5 days before the article was published on her website, called "Dead Cats Worldwide and Perhaps in Other Worlds."
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, real bombshell from the Whidbey News Times here.
The Whidbey News Times, because we know that there are cats on Earth. There's cats just like in orbit around like Jupiter. There's cats probably hanging out in Uranus. I'm not exactly sure. There's cats on Zeta Reticuli. There just has to be. They kind of have like a cat vibe to them, so I think they would be down there. But yeah, like, we do know there are cats in other worlds. This is, again, the LMH logic that we're
this isn't
right
even
now.
Her though. This is
it doesn't
third
matter.
Party
That's
confirmation.
Why That's well, I mean, I call this LMH logic because she plucked it from the
right. Of the same school of thought. I follow you.
Exactly.
So, this article says, in a 6 week period, Oak Harbor residents reported finding 7 dead cats, 4 of which were cut in half.
4.
Yes. That's
a big number.
Every week and a half. Because every 10 days, cats getting cut in half somewhere.
Cats getting cut in half, and like, there's really only one answer to this, but
well,
you know, we'll get there.
The next sentence, the police and the city's animal control officer are convinced that it's the work of coyotes, but several people aren't so sure. This comes up over and over again, that everyone is like, dude, that's coyotes. And Linda's like, yeah, but is it?
Yeah, ancient astronaut theorists say no.
Could it be coyotes? And if so, what if it wasn't?
Bobby Klotz, man, he's all over this.
Okay, so those that weren't so sure about the coyote hypothesis pointed to the precision of the cuts and the lack of tracks or signs of a struggle as proof that a person was involved.
Well, I mean, that kind of like parrots every kind of cattle mutilation case from like time immemorial. There's no tracks. The cuts were precise. And I'm not saying that like there isn't some, you know, shady stuff that has gone on with certain animal mutilations. Like if you read Mystery Stalks the Prairie by Roberta Donovan and Keith Wolverton. That book will give you nightmares because, like, the culprit that they're kind of painting the picture of is not aliens. It's human beings that are going out and literally, like, they lay out how they exsanguinate these animals, how there is a certain drug that you can give them that knocks them out, increases their heart rate, so you can, you know, draw the blood out and pretty much do whatever you know they want. Like,
what do you want with cow blood?
That's the thing, is like what they keep coming back to in the book, because there's one instance in which they find this kind of circle in the woods that kind of has like satanic vibes to it and stuff like that. So like they're trying to pin it on either like the government, or they're pinning it on Satanists and stuff like that. Like UFOs are kind of like pushed to the back in these cases, but like it's unclear why they would want that. Like to me, like the human motivation there and what they're taking out of an animal, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know what you would do with parts like that. I don't think you need those parts in order to measure like radioactivity or whatever, you know, that you want to do. It almost seems like just like one big giant psyop to fuck with people. Like there's no, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of rhyme and reason behind it.
So, in this case, an Oak Harbor man who didn't want his name used suggested that the cat deaths were the work of UFOs.
Okay.
Yep. Unnamed man says it's the UFO's fault.
Yep.
Mike Mulder suggested that the dead cats were tied to nighttime paralysis and a malevolent devil-like spirit.
Okay, so yep. We've got malevolent devil-like spirits stepping into the ring here, cutting open cats, cutting them in half. They are, you know, making themselves known. Okay, all right, I dig it.
Then we get some quotes from Linda Moulton Howe.
Okay.
Who said, animal mutilations have been linked to something non-human for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Highly classified documents about the unusual deaths of animals around the world attributed to extraterrestrial biological entities. No blood, no tracks. An Oak Harbor woman. Okay, we've got an important development, Rob. An Oak Harbor woman told Howe that her cat's body was, quote, like a child's hand puppet. Okay, so now we have motive. The big feet are making puppets out of our cats.
So
that's why, like, they got to cut the bottom half off so they can get their big old mitts up there.
Yeah. So they like pull out like everything.
Yep.
And in its place. Okay. So we have,
we've got Bigfoot puppet shows, bro.
Like they either got the Muppets, they got some broadcasts there. Maybe they got some. What if they got those broadcasts of like old episodes of Mr. Rogers and those puppets, man?
They just got Fraggle Rock in the Bigfoot community.
Yeah, totally. They're like, holy crap, we can relate to this. We have this kind of relationship with the gnomes. Like, exactly. Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now we've got a motive. For the Bigfoot, yes. Cutting our cats in half.
Yep.
And then Linda also says, they always say it's a predator, disease, or a satanic cult. All of these are easily eliminated by field investigation.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Uh-huh. And then she says it can't be coyotes.
Just can't. Like, there's...
Nope.
It's just... It can't be... Here are the reasons. There's no, here are the reasons why it can't be.
Just can't, dude.
It just can't.
It can't be.
LMH logic. I got it. There is no explanation. There is just, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
This is the way it's always been. And this is the way it'll always be.
Exactly. And, yes. And that way is Bigfoot puppet show.
Bigfoot puppet show. Probably it doesn't happen as often as you'd like it to. It's probably kind of like getting tickets to Hamilton was, you know, just really difficult. You got to know somebody who knows somebody. And even then, it's tough to get those tickets to those Bigfoot puppet shows.
So we have some emails from Coast to Coast listeners who want to share their own half-cat stories with LMH.
Okay.
First up is Rachel from Tucson. Rachel said, my cousins found their cat about 2 months ago cut in half a couple houses down from theirs. They called us over to bury it and explained to us that it looked like it was cut clean in half, that the front half was missing. So it was just the hind legs and the butt.
Okay, so
with our puppet theory, Bigfoot has the top
half. If we're equating it, cat pants. We got cat pants.
Fuzzy cat pants.
Fuzzy cat pants.
R.I.P. Yeah. Little buddy.
Yep.
When we got there, it couldn't have been a cleaner cut. It was so disturbing to see and impossible to forget. It was only the back half with his legs and tail with no tearing, fur loss, or chew marks. There were also no organs or intestines and no blood on the ground or in the fur. We thought it was unlikely that a coyote would be in the middle of our neighborhood eating a cat next to a very busy street. We looked around and saw no prints or anything else unusual. We called the police, who also shared our opinions about the cat's body. I don't know what that means exactly.
Okay. So I guess the question is, what expertise do the police have in animal biology to offer up that kind of opinion? Like, it's questionable. I'm not saying that there haven't been good opinions from police departments involving certain animal mutilation cases, but I also know that there are other good police departments who actually work with veterinarians out there that actually got pretty good insight into what an animal mutilation case looks like. So that's a little questionable, a little bit questionable there.
So that's the end of that one from Rachel in Tucson. Next up, we have someone who did not share their name, but they said, I'm terrified that this is such a widespread event. 2 years ago, I woke up in the morning and found my two cats looking out of our kitchen window. Their eyes were wide open and they appeared almost frozen. I followed their gaze and saw a furry mass on the ground outside. I went out to take a look and there was the most hideous sight I've ever seen. A cat lay dead, cut from neck to groin in a single neat line. It was also cut through the middle in half. So I don't know,
So is it bisected?
I think that's what they're saying.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I've worked in the medical field for years, and I know what surgical precision looks like. This was it. It was placed neat and tidy, one half next to the other. There was no blood to indicate a, quote, kill site. I checked the entire backyard. The other very chilling thing was that the cat's innards were gone. It was empty inside. No bones, pooled blood, or anything else.
So this kind of holds up. Is this a failed puppet creation then?
Yeah, maybe. This cat was just not suitable for whatever their puppet needs were.
Now, I'm picturing in my head here for a moment. I'm thinking about Bigfoot. Does Bigfoot have sewing skills? I don't think so, because it's got those big, fat fingers.
Not a lot of dexterity.
No,
there isn't. Fine motor doesn't seem like Bigfoot's specialty.
No, they may be swift, but that is not out of any, if you're filling out that a character sheet for Bigfoot in Dungeons & Dragons, is it going to have max 20 strength? Absolutely. Dexterity, maybe a 10, maybe a 12.
That seems generous, but, honestly.
Yeah, you're probably right. It could probably. I think of that episode. There was an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. There was a segment on Bigfoot. And I remember this. I could see it in my head. There's this mock search party on the ground. And there's this helicopter in the air. And they're basically trying to. They're basically saying, oh, we found a new way to track Bigfoot, essentially, which is through these infrared sensor cameras or FLIR before FLIR was really a thing. And there's this story in there from a guy whose name was Elmer. It's his first name. I can't remember his last name. I can't remember
who
his
needs
last
one
name
when your first name's Elmer.
Exactly. He was he was out in the woods, not hunting, but kind of like, I don't know if he was like, he had like rock hammers and stuff with him. So like it seemed like he was interested in like geology and stuff like that. Okay. And at a certain point, he heard like above him this like Bigfoot slamming rocks down. He's like, I didn't know what it was, but like eventually he called out to it. He's like, hey, who's up there? And this Bigfoot just rolls down a hill.
Like it fell? Like he surprised it?
Like it was startled, rolled down this hill. And the thing is was kind of, it came down like onto this trail. It gets up, it looks at him, and like I'm figuring this Bigfoot is embarrassed. It turns around, starts walking away. This guy starts to follow it, and it gets pissed off, and then it starts to chase him, and he gets out of there. But like, never forget that like
don't startle Bigfoot, man.
So don't startle Bigfoot. He's not dexterous, not able to catch himself that easily.
I'm imagining the guys who lived on the mountain in Zelda Ocarina of Time who would curl up into a ball and roll around.
Yep,
I'm imagining those guys. They were kind of clumsy and goofballs.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Absolute like idiots for sure.
Okay, so there's a little bit more to this no bones cat.
Okay.
This person called animal control, who told them to call the police. The police arrived and said it might be a coyote, but called for a second officer who specialized in hate crimes. This is a cat hate crime, Rob.
This is the cat. We've got the cat hate crime unit. It's up in here. Not only do we have the cat hate crime unit, it specializes in like hate crimes from other animals. So
I think we have a motive. If this police department knows that Bigfoot hates cats so much that they called this in as a hate crime, we've got a real beef on our hands.
We are getting to the point now where this beef is established, and I just keep, I'm asking myself in my head, what the hell can the cats do to defend themselves?
Yeah, nothing. This does not seem fair at all.
No.
There are a lot more of them, I guess. They've got to organize.
They really do. Like, they need to band together and kind of form themselves, you know, kind of like maybe a less terrifying version of a rat king, like the cat king.
Yeah. So I was about to say, could you combine enough cats in a way that looks like a Bigfoot, and could they infiltrate the Bigfoot community?
Right. Or could you form enough cats into a Megazord and just go in and wreck house? There's no other way around it.
It's like in that Gravity Falls episode where all the gnomes become the one giant gnome.
Yes.
We just need all the cats to like link arms and become one giant super cat.
There's this freaking story by Clive Barker. I think it's called The Midnight Meat Train.
Oh, boy.
And it's literally about how two towns, like the residents of two towns, if I remember correctly, they all form together into a giant, like humanoid figure.
All the people do?
Yes. And these people from these two towns basically just like duke it out.
Huh.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Like Megazord style.
Because it's Clive Barker, and you know Clive Barker is like, you know, king of horror and stuff. He is the mind behind Hellraiser and a bunch of other things. But it is, you can't get that image out of your head once you read it.
It would be terrifying.
Yeah, it is really
punching
terrifying.
People with other whole people.
It's
bad news.
A conglomerate of people.
We also, in this email has a lot of important information.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the first instance of a cat being shaved, possibly by Bigfoot.
Is this a prank?
So one and later in this email, it says 1.5 years later, one of our cats came home with his belly and groin area shaved almost bare. There was also a patch shaved on his leg with a small sore, and we had to take him to the vet. The vet claimed it was probably a feral cat or non-neutered male cat. Well, wait, I thought it was your cat. You just found right. a cat? Anyway,
yeah,
no way. Again, this was a precision clipping. The edges were neat and tidy, and the hair was all clipped short, not torn or scratched.
So
sometimes they're not cutting the cats in half. They're just giving them a quick bzz, bzz.
So this couldn't have been some, like, you know, like, asshole just, like, shaving a cat. Like,
oh, no, it absolutely was. Yeah.
Yeah. I
it's 100%
say, like,
what happens. Some kid shaved your cat.
Yeah, seriously. Like, this is animal cruelty here. This is not Bigfoot getting a hold of your cat and like,
this is
removing hair.
This is a bored 8-year-old with a pair of clippers.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Okay. Third one. Although, what if we're combining multiple cats to make cat puppets? Maybe you needed just some more fur, but you didn't need the whole cat.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe Bigfoot is weaving out of things out of cat hair.
That LMH logic is really
we're back.
It's here.
We found
it. It's doing a number on everything. Yeah.
I was listening to Coast to Coast AM on July 22nd concerning your report on the half cat incidents. We should probably, Coast to Coast has archives, right?
Yeah.
I really should have tracked down this July, because now I know July 22nd, 2005, LMH was on Coast to Coast talking about half cats.
Half
so cats. This goes back at least 15 years. She's been on the half cat train.
Wow.
Incredible.
That's a hell of a career trajectory.
I'm writing to inform you about one of these corpses showing up on my driveway. I reside about 10 miles north of Houston in an area called the Woodlands. I have a few cats that reside on my back porch, and one of the kittens, about 9 months old, turned up with just the upper half of the corpse. So I don't...
That does not sound... Wait, are you saying this kitten... There was a kitten? Like, that just, like...
I think she's,
yeah, that's confusing.
I think she's saying she found half of the kitten on her driveway.
So, is she specifying upper half
this time? It was just the upper half. I found her because one of the adult cats was sitting at the end of the driveway when I arrived home. Okay. Oh, no. My first impression was that the cat was hiding in the grass because it was rather tall. Oof.
That's like that's a horror movie scene right there. You're walking up to it, and like all you have left is like you don't have the cat pants, you have the cat sweater.
The description of a child's hand puppet is exactly what I thought when I saw it.
Oh,
so I don't know if Linda brought up this puppet thing on the air and people are reacting to that, or if we have independent confirmation of this puppet angle.
Yeah, no, I really want to know.
We got another one. On Memorial Day, my next door neighbor found my healthy male cat dead in her backyard. Couldn't find anything wrong with him. No marks, broken bones, no blood. A coyote would not have killed him and then left him there. We live on a quiet dead end street at the top of a hill, so it's unlikely he was hit by a car. I don't want to be overly suspicious, but I have the feeling it was murder. This is not a cat that's cut in half. Her cat just died, which is like, it's a shitty thing to laugh about. But her cat died, right. And she just thinks it was quote murder.
Again. When we talk about LMH logic,
like this doesn't fit the thing you're talking about at all. This is just a dead cat.
LMH logic is literally not logic. It's stating things without anything to back it up.
It's just a vibe. It's just like a.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard about the story. I've shared it in other places. Have you heard about the sentient bowling pin?
I sure haven't.
Okay, so what is that? The rundown of this case.
Isn't that like a Toy Story character?
No, okay. not in this case. So in 1977, on the island of Mallorca in Spain, there's the Spanish count, nameless, because he was pretty affluent. He had a really good job, didn't want to say anything, was driving down this road at like 10:30 in the morning. Pretty nice day. And he sees this highly stylized bowling pin sitting on a round base in the middle of the road. The thing was, it was kind of transparent. He's driving forward, doesn't think anything of it. He's just like, I'm just going to run over this thing because like, what? There's really no shoulder. Yeah. It's just he's going to run over this bowling pin.
Weird choice, but okay.
If you want to say it, okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you. You could say that it looks like a bowling pin. You could say that it looks like a butt plug. It kind of looks like one in the same.
Got a flared base to it.
Yeah, it does. Okay. It does have a flared base to it. And so as this guy's approaching this bowling pin, he gets the feeling that it's alive.
That sucks.
Only problem is, he has nowhere else to go.
He's about to hit it. He
runs it over. And the thing is, in the article about this case, published in the April Bulletin. The sketches that are included. The first sketch is the guy behind the wheel. He sees the bowling pin through his windshield. The second image is literally the car on the road, and behind it is the bowling pin knocked over.
Yeah, we get the idea.
Yeah. Illustrative. So he runs this over, feels incredibly guilty about it.
He just killed a sentient bowling pin. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. So guilty about it that he turns around and he comes back and he looks for it. All he finds is this wet spot in the middle of the road.
Oh, no.
Nothing else. So he comes back to this spot 4 or 5 times to look for this. And he comes back with his father-in-law at one point. And his father-in-law looks at him and says,
how do you explain that to your father-in-law? Bro, I killed a bowling pin. You got to help me find it and bury it.
It gets better. His father-in-law says, you got some bad mojo with the aliens.
Hell yeah, Dad.
But like, similar lines of logic is just, there's this thing in the middle of the road. I'm going to run it over. It's living. How do we get it to? I don't know where that thought come from, but like, it's a living sentient bowling pin.
And he murdered it.
and he murdered it. I'm going to send you these sketches because I have them on my phone.
But, I can't wait.
Yeah.
We have another update where someone just tells us about a coyote who killed her cat. Which again doesn't really seem to apply here, and in fact might imply that the rest of these are not aliens or Bigfeet, that it might be coyotes or other predators.
Yeah.
And then we've got one about a cop from Collegedale, Tennessee, who found half a rabbit. On his property, which like, okay, small animal cut in half, but not a cat.
Right.
And then we've got, no, that's it. Okay. So the rest of these are rabbits, coyotes, or a cat that died, but it felt like murder.
Okay. Yeah.
We got three actual half cats. And then we have another update. There are, if you subscribe to Earth Files, which I am absolutely not going to do, you can find lots more articles about half cat mutilations. But we have some updates from July of 2005 in the same area, Oak Harbor / Whidbey Island, Washington. And we have a quote from the Bellingham police lieutenant, Dak Jamison, who said there's
banger name.
It's a really strong name. Yeah. There's a methodology to what's going on. That's the whole quote.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's
the speculation. The speculation is that the cats were somehow removed from their home, taken somewhere for the cut and excision of internal organs, and then returned close to their homes. Which sounds to me like an abduction.
Yeah, it does. It's it kind of sounds like your typical cattle mutilation case where people are trying to connect it to aliens.
So could it be that the aliens just have different roles or different jurisdictions when it comes to abductions? Like the Greys abduct humans, the Bigfeet abduct cats. Maybe the Nordics abduct snakes or something. Are there snake snake mutilations? Are there half snakes out there? Do you cut them long way, sideways?
So I've heard of, you got your cows, your horses, pigs, dogs, cats. Now we have cats in this mix. There was this case that I covered on Patreon in which this kid in North Dakota was living his family had this ranch, and there was kind of this prelude event in which this 16-year-old kid sees this UFO near this kind of watering hole, and a couple months later he sees from his, I think it's a bathroom window, these figures inside of this pig corral that he manages with his sister. They take care of the pigs, and he goes out, he grabs his gun, and he goes and he sees these tall ass aliens and picking up this one pig and just stealing it.
Multiple aliens picking up one pig together.
Here's the thing. It was one alien picked it up with no problem. We were talking about probably a couple hundred pound pig.
Yeah, sure.
And picked it up with one arm with no problem.
Damn.
And this kid takes the gun, shoots at one of the figures.
Mm-hmm.
This alien passes off the pig to the other one with no problem. This figure turns around, lifts this kid up by his shirt, and throws him 20 feet backwards.
Jeez. Yeah. Those boys strong.
If you want to know, if you want to hear that story, patreon.com/yourUFOguy. The Hum in the Silence volume 10 or 11, somewhere around there. But it's a wild ass story.
There have been some similar sheep related stuff, right? Yeah.
Yep, sheep. I think during the Mothman stuff, there was a lot of reports of people's dogs missing.
Yeah, Mothman's got to eat.
Yeah, it's just got to happen. It's
a big guy. The last one is from August of 2003, so it actually predates the other ones we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Bothell, Washington. There's a cat that was found cut in half, but with about a 4-inch strip from the middle of it missing. So they have both ends of the cat, but there's a middle section that has been removed.
The skin or
no, the whole else? The it's just gone.
Let's
see if I can drop it in the chat here for you real quick. One second. Otherwise intact. There's just a big, not a big, about a 4-inch section out of the middle of it that is missing. Yeah, that show up there. Cat mute Bothell.
Yeah. whoa.
Yeah. Right. Not great.
That's not ideal, my friend.
No, you don't want to be missing your middle. That's tough times.
No,
it's a lot of important stuff in there.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be my mind's having a tough time comprehending that, because it's just hey, there's a portion of that missing.
Yeah.
It's
It does kind of look like, though, if you pushed it back together, it might be about the right length. Are we sure it's not cut in half and then just, like, separated?
Fair point.
It's there's no scale in the photo, so it's hard to tell the exact proportions.
Oh, speaking of, I'm now sending you those images. In,
oh, no.
yeah, it is...
Of the bowling pin.
gotta send
the great illustrations. Always are, but I just love
this one gets me though. This
just driving up. Okay, we got the second one coming through.
Yep.
It's just tipped over behind him.
Yeah. Yep.
Strike. Good job, bud. Or I guess you picked up the spare. It's just one pin.
Totally got it.
Amazing. So
yep.
That brings us to the end of our three-piece presentation.
Mm-hmm.
As I think we've sort of arrived at a working hypothesis here, which I would lay out as Bigfoot is a type of extraterrestrial.
Yep. Yep.
Who travels by UFO.
Yep.
Sometimes collaborates with other types of extraterrestrials.
Yep.
And around 1977 developed some sort of feud with the cats of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And since then have been turning them into hand puppets for their own amusement.
You've done it.
I think we cracked
essentially. It. Essentially. Yeah. You've done it. You have taken what is a story that has been, kind of mishandled by LMH for so long.
Well,
she
laid it out for us. I just followed the path that she laid out in front of us.
Yes. That's absolutely true. Totally did lay it out. I think the problem there lies in which I think she just likes to bust that out to say that every now and then just to be like some, unhinged thing that comes out of her mouth every now and then. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, this is normal. This happens.
You just drop it in a presentation to see if people are actually paying attention.
Yes. Like, this is what ends up in a PowerPoint presentation. Like, it's a long day. Like, it's a Friday at like 3 p.m. It's like the last presentation that you're giving that day and you want to have fun with it. So you throw in a slide that essentially says you do know that Bigfoot rips cats in half.
And if that flies, that's your green light to say whatever the fuck you want the rest of the way.
Exactly.
If you can slide that past the audience, you're home free, buddy.
I think that's ultimately what it comes down to is in those kind of communities, people say whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
And nobody says anything about it.
Who's going to stop me?
Yeah, exactly. The sound editor on her movie won an Emmy.
Won a regional Emmy in 1997.
Won a regional goddamn Emmy for sound design. So
incredible stuff.
Yeah.
So Rob, there you have it.
Holy hell, man. thank you so much for exposing the truth behind the Bigfoot cat beef, the intergalactic beef that they now have. And now if you on the internet end up buying a hand puppet of a cat, you are now guilty of supporting this problem.
Or you may have some Bigfoot DNA on your hands, literally.
Or you may have some Bigfoot DNA on your hands, at which point you want to talk to that guy. I think his name is Todd Dishotel. He was like the guy that they went to on Monster Quest all the time with like Bigfoot hairs and stuff like that. And he had this like mohawk and these crazy eyes. But he seemed to be the go-to guy. So if he's still around doing that, go track it down. But man, thank you for coming on and really exposing a grand conspiracy that doesn't get talked about enough.
I appreciate you giving me the time to ramble about stupid bullshit.
if you want to follow along with anything that you do, where's the best place to follow along with that?
Oh man, I don't even know these days.
I know, man.
Go listen to Finding Quantum Quest wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yes.
You're already listening to this show. That's a pretty good start. Go listen to the What If podcast. We're not making new episodes anymore, but there's a couple hundred episodes of What If out there that are a good time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Check those out.
I'm going to keep this ending short this week. If you want, whether that's, social media links, the Patreon, any of that stuff, check the link tree in the show notes. And, special thanks to Floats for the use of their song UFO as our theme song. Special thanks to you because you're going to edit this thing, this monstrosity.
I sure am. I have only myself to blame this time.
Absolutely. special thanks to Megan Lagerberg for our logo and to the great Desdemona for our t-shirt designs. And finally, don't forget to look up because you never know what you'll find in our strange skies or in your backyard ripping your cats in half. In gray, we trust.
Now, until next time, may the power of the cosmos and of Bigfoot be with you. Yes, yes, yes.
DaVid Media.